Welcome to Pop Culture Retro, which was recently voted the 15th best podcast by the residents of the Golden Years Retirement Community in Boca Raton, Florida. Each show, we'll revisit some of your favorite pop culture memories with insider and outsider perspectives. Now, please help me welcome your hosts, Ike Eisenman and Jonathan Rosen.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Pop Culture Retro. I'm one of your hosts, Jonathan Rosen, along with the embodiment of holiday spirit, Ike Eisenman. Ike, how are you today?
Oh, I'm fantastic, and I'm more the embodiment of holiday spirits.
Well, yeah, we're recording this the day, even though it's going to come out later, we're recording this the day after Christmas. Yes. So I want to ask everyone, how'd your holiday go?
Oh, it was absolutely lovely. My wife and I spent it alone with the dog. We did my typical, it's like, yes, I cook a lot at home. Yes, I cook at home. But the two big meals I like to make are Thanksgiving and Christmas. I did not do a turkey this year. I did a Christmas chicken.
Are you the one that does most of the cooking?
All the cooking,
okay.
Oh, yeah. All the cooking. Tia makes grilled cheese sandwiches and tomato soup upon occasion to give me a break. And a couple of other things, but nope, that is my job in the house. And I love it. I really enjoy it. I never did most of my life, but now.
Well, I see your posts are like, you make like these bowl of things whenever you put your meals that you're making. It seems like there's always like stuff going on all over the kitchen when you're cooking.
A little bit, yeah, but I'm a pretty clean cook. I clean.
I didn't say messy. I just said there's a lot going on.
Oh, just a lot going on. Okay, I get it. Yeah. Yeah, there is. Because, I mean, it just cracks me up. We're not, we'll get on to our theme to our show in a minute. But, no, I had an absolute meltdown on Saturday because I have this longstanding love-hate relationship with recipes, online recipes, and cooking videos on YouTube because it seems like most of the time they never work. They never actually, nothing ever works the way they say it's going to. And I have learned, I'm not a natural cook. I have to learn by, doing and constantly redoing to figure things out. And it just seems like these dishes just never come up right. And Tia was desperate for latkes. All right. I made latkes last year.
Somewhat successful. All right. I'm very impressed right now.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was a full boat meal for me because I had a pastrami sandwich on rye and I was looking forward to latkes. And last year when we made them, it stunk up the whole house. And so there are certain things I try not to cook inside because Tia's a vegetarian. And fish is one of them. If I do fish, I'm always out on the grill in some way. And anything that's going to get smoky, like steaks and meat and things like that, I cook outside on the grill. And so I decided that's what I'll do this year. I'll do it. The latkes is in the frying pan on the grill. It'll be out of the house. I don't have to worry about splatter and all that stuff. And I watched like six videos on YouTube. And they go through all this stuff, and here's the temperature the oil should be, and this is all you need, and da-da-da, and it's about 3 minutes on each side, and you'll be done. And these things wouldn't fry. I mean, they would not fry. And I was going crazy because I was getting hungrier and hungrier, and Tia was starving. And so I cranked the gas all the way up to full, and waited. It took almost 20 minutes to cook three latkes. And so the first round was just mushy dead. It was just a pile of nothing that never cooked. The second batch, thankfully, I got something done well enough that I could feed my wife. Then I had my sandwich, and all I did was vent through dinner about recipes. I was so angry. So that was my Christmas Eve this year. Yeah, it was hilarious.
Well, that's fun.
But anyway,
There is one thing I'll bring up briefly, but I don't want to talk. We won't talk about it. I just want to bring it up briefly because I think we should talk about it in a future episode. Last week you and I discussed very briefly, they are doing a Witch Mountain reboot on Disney Plus. So yeah. Initial thoughts before we won't dwell on it. I just want to know initial thoughts on it right now, because we will, I think we should talk about it in a future episode, but just quickly initial thoughts.
I think initial thoughts are, I think I truly am honored and love it. That's not a dedication to me, but the fact that the Witch Mountain title is still in, Disney's universe, if you want to call it that. Because I think you and I had chatted about this. I think that this makes six incarnations of Witch Mountain. We're going to call, because I've always referred to it as Witch Mountain. And so they're actually now calling a show strictly Witch Mountain, which is very interesting. Because, I'll just keep it brief. I don't know what to expect. I think it's probably going to be title only in its incarnation. I did notice that there is a Tia character, but for some reason Tony the brother is just doesn't exist anymore, and not sure why that is, but hey, we'll see. And I think it would be great to keep the title fresh in people's minds and have other folks go back and revisit the original films.
I think that Disney should be making a call to one Ike Eisenman for a guest appearance, but that's just throwing this out there.
Yeah, I don't know how many guest appearances Kim and I could actually do. We did our bit on Race to Witch Mountain, which I just thought was so much fun, and it was the perfect parts for both of us. It was mysterious yet clear. We were both there, but we kind of had different names, and I liked the way they handled that. It was nicely done, and we were definitely plot wise integral to the storyline. Kind of there to help that move things along and create a distraction and help them in their escape.
And I thought it was too much, because we will have to have an episode on this. I think we should definitely have an episode.
So let's move on.
Okay, so let's talk about today. We are doing a forgotten film segment, and we did not talk about it. We just discussed which film to watch, but I did not ask Ike anything about it, what he liked, if he didn't like it or not. We discussed the movie Lovebirds. I think it was 2011. I should check on that.
Yeah, it was 2011. Yes.
2011 film. So it's one of our more recent ones. I think it is the most recent forgotten film that we've done. I don't think it got a lot of airplay here at all, so I don't think too many people know about it. I will preface it, as I do with most of them, but most of them I like, and there was one that I loved that I gave you before. I do love this movie. So I have got to hear your opinions on it. So I'm going to let you go. Let's give the premise first. Premise is with Rhys Darby and Sally Hawkins, who I love both of them. Okay. Rhys Darby gets, dumped, and somewhere along the line, he winds up taking in a wounded duck and starts caring for the wounded duck, doesn't know too much about how to care for ducks, and goes to Sally Hawkins, who is a, professional in the field, and gets her advice on things, and usual rom-com elements ensue. But let's take it to you first. Okay, your initial thoughts.
Well, I hate to disappoint you, but I actually love this movie.
Really? I am shocked. I really am shocked. I would have bet that you would not. I even told you that ahead of time, that I didn't think you would like
it. You did. You were all prepared for that. And I'm giving the picks you send my way, I prepared myself for it also. But it had me at the opening song. I mean, if you're going to use Queen songs to score a movie, you kind of got on my good side, and that's the first thing that pops up is a song from Queen. And
Queen is throughout the movie. Yes.
Yeah, and it's Rhys Darby's character's favorite band. He's got posters up, and so the music features heavily throughout the film, which I thought was very, very cool. But I even liked the setup, because the wounded duck doesn't it's a random thing, but it's random in an interesting way, because when the film opens, you see a pair of, a mating pair of duck. Not they're not mating, but they're a matched pair of ducks, male and
Maybe,
female, hanging out together. They take off, they're flying, and then a hunter fires a gun. Of course, you don't see what happens, but you fear for the worst, and that's kind of what you end up finding out, that the, well, it's not a mallard. No, that's a type of duck. Anyway, the male duck, at least I think it is. I don't know if they ever actually established if it was male or female. Anyway,
I think it
it's
was male because of the name. The name was Pierre. So
right, that's right.
I think it was largely
Yeah.
male. And
Yeah.
according to
So
this,
the
the species of duck was a shell duck or a paradise shell duck. So I've never
Yeah.
heard of it. That's what it,
Yeah.
that's what they said the species was.
And so the duck was wounded by a shotgun blast, and I'm assuming the female duck didn't make it. So he this is how the, this is how the film opens, and it was actually it was it drew my interest in right away, and not knowing anything about the movie, I didn't know that it was a New Zealand film, which is interesting because you don't see a lot of, you might see Australian films, but one that that's actually shot, produced, starring New Zealand actors, it was really quite interesting. And also, I didn't know any of them. I don't know Rhys Darby. Now I do from this movie. And Sally Hawkins, I didn't know. Now I do from this movie. And pretty much everyone in it was brand new to me, and which I kind of like, because then I don't have any, predispositions to what their characters are going to be or what their personalities are. And so it was nice to just learn about these people as you go along. But as you said, yes, rom-com antics ensue, and it all in all, it's a very formulaic, very on the nose, romantic comedy. But it also kind of demonstrates, when if you do take a formula, and not that there's any new twist, the only twist to this is the fact that there's a wounded duck, that he ends up having this really, 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 beautiful relationship with. Like a dog, like a really like a companion animal, and I fell in love with that damn duck. And I remember halfway through saying, all of a sudden saying, oh my God, they're gonna pull up my heartstrings, because he's got to get better and take off and go to his normal life at some point, and that's, it's gonna kill me. I'm waiting for it to come. But anyway, all in all, yeah, I enjoyed it. Despite the formulaic sense about it, the characters are great. I do have some complaints, which we'll talk about as we go through it. But what are the things that you like about it?
The thing, well, first of all, it's okay, it's not, I hate lumping it all together, but I do lump it all together mentally. I've mentioned many times I love British movies, I love British comedy, and even it's not British and they'll be insulted that I say it like that, but I do lump, like, the British, Australian, and now New Zealand. I think the comedic sensibilities all are kind of in the same vein a little bit. So I do love that aspect. Again, I love Rhys Darby. You've not seen it, I guess, because I love his work and other things. I love his stand up. I love his you've not watched Flight of the Conchords? You've never seen that?
Never heard of it. Never heard of
Oh my God.
it.
You kill me sometimes. You've
I
got
know. I know.
he was a central figure in the series The Flight of the Conchords, which is a hysterical series. He was the band manager. So I do love him. I love Sally. This was my introduction to Sally Hawkins when I first saw her. And she's been in so many things. She was in just recently The Shape of Water, which I think was up for the Oscar, actually. So.
Okay. All right. All right. All right. I mean, I knew, yeah, which I've not seen either. I've not seen that film yet, so I didn't recognize her. But go ahead, sorry.
But I've seen her in several movies since this, and I love her work too. So I thought the cast was so endearing. You know, his friends, you know, the construction crew, whatever it was, the highway crew, his friends were like just charming. Everything about this was just, you know, a real sweet, charming element to me, just the humor and the relationships with each other. So I did love every aspect of this. I've seen this many, many times already, like I do with movies I love. So I'm probably good to watch this one around once a year. So I was happy to revisit it now when discussing this. And just the same thing with the duck, you know, the analogy to each other, the wounded duck, the wounded man, they both have to heal each other. So it was just such a charming, charming movie to me. Like I said, that's one of the things I like about it. Yeah, there's the formulaic parts in it, in there, but I didn't care. You know,
Well,
just
yeah, see, I didn't need it. That's what I'm saying. When it works,
but
and so you know, you forgive it all of that because it does pull you in. Yes, and you know, there really isn't anything. You know, the only tragic thing that happens in it is happens right at the beginning, and you know, and you get past that very very quickly, and you know, then you know it's gonna it's all you know. Gonna go forward from there. But yeah, I agree
And
with you. Those, yeah.
then the leads. I again, just going back to the leads, I thought the leads was so likable, both of them. And you know, you could see like people falling for either one of them, just you know, based on the way that their characters were. So
Yeah.
yeah, it's one of the things. These are the things that I do love, and like I said again, I love those comedic sensibilities. I just love throw the accent on there in any movie, and I'm already in. You
Yeah,
know.
that's what I was going to say. I think you're an accent junkie.
Oh yeah, I really am. I just and I was reading somewhere that this film might as well have been like, you know, an advertisement for, you know, the tourism ministry of New Zealand, because it could have been. It made me want to like go visit the country. It just looked everything about it just like charming, beautiful, that I want to go to New Zealand just based on this movie. I had wanted to anyway, but this movie like cemented it for me.
Yeah. Wow. Well, no, I totally agree with that. To just because I was a brand new watcher and brand new to all these actors, the first thing that kind of oddly pulled me out was the fact that Rhys Darby looks so much like Hugh Jackman that
Like you.
I had to me, yes, to me, well, because I've never seen him before. And the mannerisms, I'm really, I mean, his look, his mannerisms, his you know, the tone of his voice and everything that I had to look him up because to find out if it was his brother or something. I mean, it was that kind of distracting to me. But then I you know, got past it and got into everything that was going on. But the things that I found, okay, that bothered me. We'll talk about some of the things that bothered me. Was that I see I when I get picky about these movies and I find myself being disappointed in a way, I'd really like to try to think about, okay, what was it, and what if I were had been directing it or writing this, what would I have changed to make the payoff work better? And I found the one thing I found about Doug Reese's character that didn't quite work for me is that as the film goes along, or really the whole big, because of course in romantic comedy formula, his ex-girlfriend comes back and tries to get back together with his character again, which then throws a monkey wrench in the new relationship he's trying to develop with Sally Hawkins' character. And he's honest with her about it, that he's going to go have dinner with his ex and kind of drops this bomb on her, which of course forces this big wedge between him, and hearts are broken and all of that. And for them to come back together is going to take quite a major act of something. And what Darby's character, Darby. Yes, it's sounds like a first name to me also, so I'm getting them mixed up. But anyway, what Doug does is something outrageously silly and ridiculous, and puts on a astronaut spacewalking suit and walks into this big party and confronts the new girlfriend, trying to win her back. And it is so ridiculous and over the top and silly. And I found myself saying, I wish his character had demonstrated more of these attributes earlier on, which I kind of missed. I would have found that payoff would have worked for me better. It's like, okay, this is just another like wackadoodle thing that he's doing. Is it going to work this time? Is it not? And I didn't find his character really lived up to that level of eccentricity. And even the dialogue that he says at the end, trying to win her heart back, was awkward for me. And again, being picky, I kind of hate it when characters do are act stupid and they don't say the freaking words that you say, why aren't you just saying this? Why didn't you just say, yeah, you had dinner with her, but it just reminded your ex-girlfriend, but it just reminded you of all the reasons why you're not supposed to be together anymore. And because I would find myself fumbling over myself to say, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, I screwed up, but yeah, I don't know. This is, I don't even know what I was thinking. Maybe I was holding out for some something or whatever, but no, it's over. It's all over. He never said it was over. He just stood there and kept, it was so I had a really tough time with that. But of course they're going to get together. That's the romantic comedy thing. They're going to get together. They're not going to part ways. She's got to get over it somehow, and so she finds her own way of getting over it, which was equally interesting. I didn't. I found her character was great. I thought she handled the scene really well
Holly,
because
is there, yeah, the name of the movie. Yeah.
And that's really what it's all about. I mean that this is the big chase scene at the end of the action movie. It's got to be a big deal. And so I felt like half of it was on point, the other half of it was kind of weak, and that's just, and again, that's me being very, very picky.
Well, I'll say he had my standard answer is like, he didn't say it because it wasn't in the script, but I think it, I do think to be, I didn't find it as like you because I did think at the end it fit just because he's drastically changed. He's changed his character. It didn't bother me that he has not attempted these things through, like, these kind of like wacky things because now he's a completely changed from where he was beforehand. He's like dropped his guard. He's like, doing things that he didn't do before because of love, because of he met this new woman. So he is changing, and he knows that that'll win her heart because her son is all into, space and space exploration. So that's why, to me, it worked. Yeah, it's silly to go don an astronaut costume. Nowhere would this happen except in a rom-com. But I thought, it did work for me much more. So just because I thought he's making an attempt now, he's changing. He's giving that one last, grasp, that one last, chance for doing something different to win her back. So it didn't bother me as much as that. But yeah, again. I just his the characters are so likable to me. I was willing to go along with it. So.
Oh no, definitely, definitely, definitely. But my point, try to be a little clearer, was no, I liked that at the end. I just would have liked to have seen more of his potential for that. And I understand his character was changing, and needed to change, but it's it's I guess that's a thing for me. And I don't know what the constant really should be, according to the character, like conventions of creating characters. But it seems like when he was rejected, like by his girlfriend at the beginning of the film, he was rejected by her for being who he is.
Right.
And therefore, you don't try to change who you are to meet someone else. You try to meet someone who gets you for who you are. And so, yes, he did change. Things did happen. I guess maybe that's why it felt awkward to me. Mm-hmm. Was if he had been doing, I mean, even something as silly as dressing like Freddie Mercury in the beginning and dancing to the music while he's doing whatever he's doing, and she just walks in and says, I can't take this anymore. You know, I mean, I cannot take this anymore. I'm out of here. You know, that's what I'm talking about. I like to be set up for what the resolution is going to be. I liked the resolution. I liked the spacesuit because it was so outrageous. But that's all I'm saying. And you know, that's just a matter of taste.
Well, here's the thing. He was content with who he was and didn't change beforehand for Susan, and because the relationship wasn't worth it to him so much.
Now, oh, I see. One, yeah,
he's willing to change because the relationship is you know, he wants to be with this one, you know. So I could see that too, but I could definitely see what you're saying. I mean, you definitely take a much more analytical eye to these things than I do always. But I do get it because you look at it much differently. I'm always like, am I entertained for things? Even though if I know something is silly or dumb or whatever it is, I never care always much. Just because, like, you know, if I'm there, if I'm enjoying the ride, I'm willing to overlook a lot. If I'm not enjoying the ride, then I start getting very nitpicky on a lot of little things, as we've seen in these forgotten films. So, you know, I'll start when I don't enjoy the whole ride, the voyage, and the journey, whatever, I'll start saying, well, this sucked, this was wrong, this can be, you know, I'll start making my list of all the things wrong. I'll throw this out there because I'm sure I'll get a lot of hate mail with this, you know, emails, whatever. The movie, you've not seen it, I don't think, the like The Last Jedi, the Star Wars one.
I have not seen it yet. And I keep threatening to, because, okay, I'm just going to jump in front of you. I keep sort of seeing so many people talk about how much they like it. And so I'm curious what your take on it is.
I could do a whole dissertation on why the movie sucks.
Okay.
I could spend hours picking that movie apart on why it sucks. But that's what I'm saying. So,
well, maybe now I have to see it.
Yes. So when I'm enjoying the ride, I overlook a lot of things. When I feel the movie is terrible there and not catering to, you know, certain structure of story, then I'll dismiss it. So this was like such a little, again, just a charming, charming movie. And that's why I've revisited it so many times already.
No, it definitely is. And it left me thinking about it. And it left me disappointed that I didn't sit down and watch it with Tia, because I think she would have liked it. And
I was going to ask Tia, so I...
Yeah, no. At this point when these movies come up, it's like, I don't want to start watching it and then have to stop it and then pick it up the next day. So I just sit in front of my computer early in the morning, because I'm up many hours before she is. So I use that time to watch these things. But I really did like it. And, you know, getting back to the duck, it was really, in a lot of ways, the duck that helped him change his attitudes about a lot of things. And learning to take care of it and then falling in love with it and actually, you know, helping it heal. And yes, you're right. I mean, that, you know, the parallel between the two, both characters are wounded and both of them get better by virtue of being there for each other. And I thought the duck was adorable. I thought the scenes with it being all around all the time were hilarious. He Doug brings an inflatable pool in the middle of his living room and fills it with water, so Pierre has some place to splash around indoors. And I just thought that was absolutely hilarious. I half expected it to pop and flood his place, but thank goodness that didn't
did
happen, because
so
I was, that's all I could think about. It was like, oh man, oh man, you know, one wayward jab of that duck bill, and this is going to be a Three Stooges, you know, scenario. But I thought all of those quirky kinds of things were great, just great stuff. And yes, endearing characters, all the way around. Yeah.
So I'm going to have to get an addendum to this video at some point if Tia watches it. I'm going to have to hear what.
Well, you know, there's a part of me that might just say, hey, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing it again and see if she likes it. Because the truth of the matter is, romantic comedies are the most sought after movies for couples in general. Most people, I mean, it's probably the best feel good experience you really can have in a story. And they are notoriously difficult to write because it's just tough. And you know, I find Tia all the time says, okay, we need to find a new romantic comedy to watch. And then so we'll pull something up on Netflix and just, oh, we want to just tear our eyes out. You know, and oh, it's just, they're just awful. And so I'm usually not very willing to take a risk. So, but you know, I figured Lovebirds, okay, this is obviously, title alone is setting me up for romantic comedy. So we shall see. But again, like I said, I spent a lot of part, you know, a large part of my career watching movies that I had knew nothing about. I had to sit down and, you know, watch them to screen them, to work on them. And so all I had was a title, didn't even know who the stars were or anything like that. And I really enjoy that process. And it's something that people, generally speaking, unless you are now pulling from movies of the past that you've never heard of before, or you sort of have heard of, or you know, maybe you do or don't know any, if you don't know anything about them, I think that that's a really great, it's a great audience experience. And you know, rightly so, people who go to movies go see something that they are set up for. I mean, that's what the marketing campaign is to say, here's what the movie is. If it sounds good, come and you won't be disappointed. And you're marketed to that way. So you've seen trailers, you know what the characters are, you know who the actors are, you know what the story is, you know all of that before you go in and sit down with your popcorn and your, well, now you're, you know, your beer or your cocktail. But you're set up for it, so you know, you pretty much know what to expect. And that's why I like doing these shows with you, is it pulls me back into that world for me, where I get to sit down cold and just watch something fresh. And so I think our track record with this is pretty consistent with my track record in the real world, which is 9 times out of 10, I'm going to hate it. But there's that 1 time out of 10 when all of that is worth it. And I found this to be well worth it. I really did enjoy it. It stuck with me. It had me feeling, you know, like, you know, weepy in a good way, just warm and fuzzy. And you just don't get that a lot. So, you know, right now I'm going to say, for anyone who's actually our audience that's actually sticking through this and listening to it, I recommend it. I definitely recommend this movie for sure.
Well, I think this was an odd one for me for forgotten films, just because I'm sure that the audience in New Zealand, you know, they said did very well there. I'm sure of it. I think I read that it did well there. But again, it was not known here, but I do go out seeking, you know, British or British adjacent, I'll say, romantic comedies. I do that all the time, or any British comedy. So this I read about this, so I just happened to, you know, see it one day just because I read things that I might enjoy. So that's how I discovered it. But yeah, it's probably did not have a big audience here, but again, I do recommend that people go see it. I'm going to admonish you for 1 second. If you don't, you know romantic comedies, that's the most things that I watch. So give me a call and I'll say, hey, I recommend this. So,
oh, okay, absolutely. That'll be great. Yeah. No, I will ask you. I will ask you for a list, and we will check them out.
Without hyperbole, I've probably watched at least 1,000 romantic comedies in my life. This might be the first one that we both kind of went and say, yes, we do, like, you know, a strong vibe to it, a strong yes to this.
Absolutely, probably. Strong yes, for sure. But I had to pick it apart anyway, because otherwise I wouldn't have had anything to say.
Of course.
Because I mean, even the good stuff, I gotta tell you, even the very, very, very best films I have ever seen, I still cringe in places where something just was wrong, shouldn't have been there, shouldn't have been done that way. And you know, I'm still able to pick out things, and I still love the films, and of course I forgive them for all that, because you know, making a perfect movie is, you know, near impossible, and it's very, very hard to do. Very, very, very hard to do.
I've said many times here, Back to the Future is my favorite movie of all time. There are still some ludicrous parts in it, and I know that they're ludicrous, and I point them out, that there's just things that are don't make sense, and they're like, don't, you know, logically speaking, don't work at all. But again, to me, who cares?
Yeah.
We could talk a whole episode on, you know, movie mistakes that don't make sense on things. But it doesn't bother me as much. Not that it doesn't bother me. It's that I'm willing to look past it. I'm there, and I'm willing to overlook the things that don't bother me if I'm enjoying the movie as a whole. So, again, we both loved it. I'm shocked. I really am.
I'm pleasantly shocked.
Let us know in the comments if you all liked it. Please go see it and see what your thoughts are. We're curious to know. And we give it a highly recommend on this one. So again, this has been Pop Culture Retro. I'm Jonathan Rosen with Ike Eisenman. And please subscribe.
Thank you for listening to Pop Culture Retro, where no one was hurt during the making of this podcast.